Welcome back to the Valley Church podcast. We hope you guys had a great Easter. Mark, how was your Easter?
It's pretty darn good. I made a ham for the very first time.
Like a big ol' ham?
Sort of a big ol' ham. Big ol' ham for four people.
Did you happen to try any hot ham water after Easter?
No, I did not. Threw the water away because...
Did the ham have a smack of ham to it?
It was a little stinky the next day.
Gross. Nice. Well, here we are. We're back in our office. We're going to talk about the book of Matthew. We are still working our way through it ever so slowly. And today we're going to do a shorter episode on just two verses in Matthew, verses 14 and 15 of chapter 6. 2 weeks ago, we left off on the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. And we're going to pick up in verse 14 today. Sweet. And these two verses are kind of a little strange, like addition or addendum, kind of close out of the Lord's Prayer. But they're huge, like they're very, very intense verses, and we're just going to talk about them today. But let's start by reading the Lord's Prayer again, just for a little bit of context. We'll start in verse 9. So you can open up your Bibles with us if you're following along. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Just a nice, light, happy verses to talk about today.
A little heavy.
A little heavy. A few things to note. It's an intense verse. It kind of just like punches you in the face, like, with its intensity. So we can acknowledge that.
Yeah.
It's kind of heavy. Second thing is verse 14 begins with the word for if you forgive other people, which kind of introduces it as dependent on what comes before it or what came before it. Namely that what follows in verse 14 and 15 is kind of the reason to pray in the way that Jesus just outlined. So it says, pray in this way, pray about this, this, and this. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, and so on, which is mostly linked to verse 12, where it says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So 14 and 15 kind of makes explicit what was implicit in verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing, let's talk about the fact that we have conditional sentences. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We have if-then type statements, which are conditional statements. Being the good evangelicals that we are, we don't like conditions about forgiveness. And to be clear, our forgiveness is not earned. It's a gift, not based on any merit. It's not dependent upon how good we are at forgiving. However, we have to let the face value of this text do what it should do, which is that I think it should shock us a bit. I think it's important that we not dismiss what Jesus is saying as a critical link between our vertical forgiveness between us and God and our horizontal forgiveness between us and others. I think the question that Matthew would want us to ask, that Jesus would want us to ask, what does it mean if you claim to be forgiven for all that you've done, but can't or won't extend forgiveness to others? What does that say about how you view your own forgiveness? Now, this conditional statement is hard to understand because our forgiveness is not based on the condition of us forgiving others in that we earn it by forgiving others. I don't think God revokes his forgiveness of your sins until you forgive others. I don't think God waits until you've forgiven someone to then bestow his forgiveness on you.
Is that like a feeling? You feel it right when it happens?
Yes. I think Jesus is clearly establishing that there is an inherent and a strong link between being forgiven and extending that forgiveness to others. Mm-hmm. In other words, if someone can't or won't forgive someone else, perhaps that person is not forgiven.
Hmm.
Or that something about the way they view their own forgiveness is very broken.
Hmm.
Some scholars believe that because verse 14 and 15 kind of feel a little bit random coming out of the Lord's Prayer, which wasn't only about forgiveness, it was about a lot of different other things. And then verses 14 and 15 are just kind of about forgiveness, referring to verse 12, that they suggest that Matthew might kind of be bringing back into this passage some of the contents of his later, of Jesus's later sayings. And so a lot of scholars believe that Matthew 6, 14 and 15 is Matthew bringing in the thoughts of Jesus from Matthew 18, 23 through 35. And so we'll go look at that really quick. Before we do, Jesus said and did a lot of things. And the Gospel of John says that he did and said so many things that there aren't enough books in the world to contain all of it. And the gospel authors are compiling all that he did and all that he said, not all that he did, a lot of the things that he did and said, in such a way as to convince us of something, to show us something about Jesus. I think for Matthew, he's arranging the doings and the sayings of Jesus to show us that Jesus is the continuation of the story of Israel, that Jesus is Yahweh come to be king.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all right that Matthew arranges the material of Jesus in specific ways. Sometimes we think that is kind of disingenuous storytelling, but it's common in this day. It's not how we do it, but it's very common in this day. So Matthew might be bringing in something that Jesus said at another time right here into verses 14 and 15, because it has to do with what he said about forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer.
Hmm.
So scholars think that what he's referring to is the contents of Matthew 18, 23 through, I think, 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. I think that's like multiple lifetimes worth of money. Since he was not able to pay the master, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, a small amount compared to what he had owed his master. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. 18:35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So there we have a story that's kind of illustrating what I think Jesus means in verses 14 and 15. In the overall body of Jesus's teaching that we have compiled in the Gospels, this is a very crucial, important concept. Forgiven people forgive people. To be in God's kingdom means that you've been forgiven. The entrance in was acknowledging, "I am broken and I need help." Think about the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes when it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I think Jesus is saying, the ones who are in my kingdom, in my family, the ones who are blessed and happy are the ones that know they have desperate need for me to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And this concept is just very clear throughout the Gospels and particularly in Matthew. Now, Jesus is saying that at the basis of your admission into the kingdom, you being forgiven, doesn't move you to forgive others, something is broken in your mind as a disciple. N.T. Wright, on this part of the Lord's Prayer in verses 14 and 15, writes this: failure to forgive one another wasn't a matter of failing to live up to a new bit of moral teaching. It was cutting off the branch you were sitting on.
Wow.
Forgiveness is the branch that we're sitting on. It's the reason that any of us are connected to Jesus. And so if we do not extend that to other people, Jesus is saying, we're kind of cutting off the basis of our connection with Jesus in the first place. So let's talk about how this works in our life, which is the hardest thing to do ever.
Yeah, for sure.
I think forgiveness is probably the hardest thing that humans do in general, and Jesus followers, it's not any different for us. It's incredibly challenging, and the deeper the wound, the harder it is to forgive. I've been thinking about this scene from a show that Kristen and I are watching called The Newsroom.
Ooh, I've been meaning to watch that.
It's very good. One of the characters was cheated on by his girlfriend before our story starts. So that's kind of the backstory as we meet the characters. And this character is talking with his therapist, and he says something to the effect of, I know that people make mistakes. I know that we should forgive people. I know that time has passed. She has said she's sorry. Why can't I still forgive her? Or why can't I forgive her? And it's this incredibly intense moment. And the therapist says, because you've been betrayed. And that's what I've been thinking about when it comes to this topic of forgiveness, because that's what happens when we hurt each other, especially within God's family. When God's family hurts each other, it's a betrayal of our chief duty to be loyal to one another and to take care of one another and to love one another. And so it feels just like a particularly painful, terrible, backstabbing wound when the people that are supposed to love us are the ones that hurt us. And so it's incredibly difficult. And part of the reason, I think, that it is so hard to forgive people is because it confronts us with our own depravity as well, or our own kind of failures, and learning that we are ourselves forgiven. So there's a theologian named Stanley Hauerwas, and he writes this: in truth, and this starts to sound contradictory to what we were just saying, but in truth, we find it easier to forgive than to be forgiven. We do so because so much of life is spent trying to avoid acknowledging we owe anyone anything. Yet to be a follower of Jesus, to learn to pray this prayer, means that we must first learn that we are the forgiven. To learn to be forgiven is no easy lesson, desiring as we do to be our own master, if not creator. But to be a disciple of Jesus demands that we recognize that our life is a gift that requires, if we are to live in a manner appropriate to our being a creature, requires our willingness to accept forgiveness with joy. Forgiveness is so hard, which sounds simplistic. It's beyond hard sometimes. One, because we are betrayed by people that are supposed to love us and care for us and not hurt us. And it confronts us with our own tendencies to sin, mm-hmm. and our own tendency to not want to need forgiveness. Because when we're confronted with the opportunity or the challenge to forgive someone else, it rubs up against this concept that we don't want to owe anybody anything, let alone God. But we do, and we did, and God forgave us of what we owed him. So man, it is a very difficult thing. So a couple of things that will help as we think about the concept of forgiveness is to kind of define what it is, and maybe what it isn't. And perhaps some, I don't know, practical tips on how to take some steps in your life when it comes to forgiving people. So one of the most helpful resources that I've found when it comes to forgiveness was given to us by a friend of ours. He's a pastor and a life coach. His name is Bill Graybill, and he has a book called Resolve Conflicts God's Way. He has a section on forgiveness, and it starts with saying what forgiveness isn't. And I'm just paraphrasing the sections, and then I'll read a quote, but he says, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. And forgiveness is not excusing another person for what they've done. He submits that forgiveness is a decision that requires faith. So what he says here, he says, when you forgive, you make a decision to release the person who hurt you from your judgment. Forgiveness is an act of faith. It is a decision to trust God. You trust him, God, to do what is just. So, when someone hurts you or hurts me, it feels as if we have a rightful kind of claim to retaliate, that they owe us something, and they do. They've wronged us. Or even
to give more back than they hurt.
We certainly want to, yes. Yeah. They owe us something, and the forgiveness that Jesus is calling us to is to say, it's not mine to judge, and I release you, or I release this person from what they owe me, and I trust God to be the one who carries out justice. So it's not excusing people's actions. It's not making excuses for them to say, oh, they're just like this and they'll always do that. Mm-hmm. We can acknowledge when people hurt us what they did was wrong and make no excuses about it. It was wrong and it was hurtful. It's also helpful to remember that it's not a feeling. It takes time to feel forgiveness for someone.
Yeah, that was actually one of my questions as we're going through this. I was thinking, like, what would you say to a person that wants to extend forgiveness, but just feelings don't match the desire to do as Jesus is telling them to do? And saying that's more, is that more of a putting it on God, saying God is the one who judges and will determine the forgiveness of that person, and I will extend that to them, but I don't have to feel that quite yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is a thing that you don't feel right away, especially on very, very deep wounds from people that are supposed to love you. So whether or not you feel like you want to forgive them is kind of independent from whether or not you choose to obey and extend forgiveness. And one of the most helpful things here is to kind of differentiate between forgiveness and reconciliation. I think sometimes we blend the two, and they often do blend, but we kind of skip the forgiveness step and we think about reconciling with a person who's deeply wounded us, and we're not ready for that yet. And that does take time to reconcile with somebody, and sometimes it doesn't happen. And so it's important to kind of separate them out for at times so that you can focus on releasing them from what they owe you, which is what the act of forgiveness is. So if you wounded me, Mark, I might think, I don't know that we can be friends right now. I don't know that we can just like hang out in the office like we used to. Like it's not the same. I couldn't do that. That's not where I am. That's not where my heart is. It would be too hard, too painful, too difficult, too disingenuous, or what have you. But that's not what God's asking us to do. I mean, hopefully that would happen, but he's asking us to forgive, which means that I need to stop replaying in my mind what you've done, and in my mind thinking about, pondering, and wishing that you would be held accountable for what you've done in ways that I would want to see you held accountable. So it's me releasing my judgment from what you owe me and trusting God to be the best judge and to be the one to take care of that.
Yeah, would you say that's also something that a person might have to do every day depending on how deep the wound is?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's probably maybe one of the biggest misconceptions about what forgiveness is that it's a, because with us, we, as we enter God's kingdom, it is a once and for all forgiveness for mm-hmm. past, present, future sins, a one and done thing. Jesus paid for it all on the cross, but Jesus is still mediating, on our behalf to God, and forgiveness for us kind of horizontally is still a process. And it, yes, like you said, depending on the kind of wound, what the relationship was, it could be something that takes a lifetime, that you feel like you get two steps forward and three steps back. And yeah, it could be very difficult, but that does not release us from the calling to extend forgiveness. It might be the first thing you have to do every day for a long, long time. But that doesn't mean that we get to not do it just because it's going to take time and be difficult. So you asked, what about a person that wants to extend forgiveness, but their feelings don't match their desire? So the first part is, I think we need to separate out forgiveness and reconciliation, though I hope that those go hand in hand. Sometimes they don't. And forgiveness is what Jesus calls us to do. In addition, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of obedience and an act of faith where we trust God with that person who's wounded us. And the third thing is that this, if it was up to our feelings, we probably would never do it. And so forgiveness is a Holy Spirit-dependent action. Really, like anything we have to do in our life with Jesus, we receive the power to do so, the ability to do so, through the Holy Spirit. It's been making me think about a different passage, a different topic, where Jesus says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's about the ability to enter the kingdom of heaven versus money, the love of money, that sort of thing. But I think this applies. Forgiving someone who wounded you deeply is impossible. Betrayal hurts like nothing else. It is impossible, but not with God's Spirit in you, reminding you how you've been forgiven, expanding your heart and your compassion for somebody else. I think probably perhaps the first step in extending forgiveness to someone happens before you talk to them, and it happens just between you and God, where you acknowledge, like, I can't do this on my own. God, I need your Spirit to just radically change my heart to allow me to extend forgiveness to this person.
Seems like a good but really hard first step.
Yes. Yeah. And it feels, I think part of why it's hard is that it feels kind of impractical sometimes, because it's not like a thing that you're going out and doing.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's incredibly important that we acknowledge where the power to do something hard comes from in the first place. Like if you've been wrestling with you know, bitterness or unforgiveness towards someone for a long time, it's probably time to kind of maybe rethink the strategy if it's been a struggle for you. I don't mean that like sarcastically or to make fun. I just mean if it's been a journey for you, maybe it's time to look back at kind of square one, like, how does this whole forgiveness thing work and start?
Yeah.
And it starts with God's Spirit reminding you that you've been forgiven and opening up your heart to love people, even those that have hurt you, your enemies, to feel compassion for them. And eventually to extend forgiveness.
Man, that's good. 'Cause I feel like even for myself, the act of forgiveness is a lot of times I feel like it's under my control, or I've got to do the forgiving, but really it's more, hey, Holy Spirit, make this happen. Work in me, because this is not of me. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. So if you find yourself today, like, not severely wounded by somebody, I'm so happy that that's not
that's
your
fantastic.
Life right now. That's great. And it's important that you kind of tuck this away and be ready for a moment where someone might wound you severely. And if you are, find yourself very wounded and hurt by somebody, I'm sorry. And Jesus's call for you to forgive is not a dismissal of the pain that you feel. In fact, Jesus, much more so than we ever could imagine, has been wounded by the sins of the world and felt the weight of them on the cross, and knows exactly how you feel, knows exactly how betrayed and hurt you feel. And so his asking you to forgive isn't a lack of compassion. I think it is actually the opposite. I think Jesus knows what it is like to release people from what they owe you, and knows that that is a good thing. And so I think I just want to leave you with Jesus understands and knows you, and knows exactly what happened, knows exactly how you feel. And also, through the power of the Spirit, will you find the ability to extend forgiveness to people, and through that process become whole and not weighed down by the darkness that can come with unforgiveness and bitterness. So, a nice light topic for this Sunday.
Yeah. Easy stuff.
Forgiveness is a topic that's kind of all throughout the Bible, so we'll come back and revisit this often. But Valley Church, we love you, we miss you, we are praying for you, and we can't wait to see you again.
Yeah. See you next Sunday.